We do not claim any rights to any audio clips taken from other media used in our podcast.
These belong to the studios and creators that made the characters and stories portrayed in the clip, and we have only used these clips for entertainment and reference purposes.
Big Jimbo must be skying. Well, mystical surf wizard, what does your wisdom tell us about these massive sets of destruction?
Come on, don't be a squeef.
All right, I know I don't have to remind any of you that school starts next week, so let's get a little National Park spirit going here and focus in on the fact that we're all young, free, healthy, wealthy, and wise, and about to embark on probably the most righteous journey of our lives thus far.
The fact of the matter is you gave up any right to ask me questions about my sex life, and you decided you didn't want to be a part of it.
Dylan, I'm here for you, but you don't need a full-time mom any more than I know how to be one.
What are you trying to do, ruin my reputation?
Not everyone has your taste, David.
The whole school does. I'm a tastemaker.
He was a jerk who blew himself away. That's who he was. You don't know. You left early. You missed out on the fun part when he picked up a loaded gun and twirled it around like Wyatt Earp.
Something around. Shut up.
I owe silver.
Hey there, everyone. This is Rebecca. I'm the mom.
And I'm her daughter, Hannibal.
And I'm the other daughter, Abigail.
Woohoo! Woohoo! Party time.
It's midterms.
No, I want to mention real quick, we did say in our episode that came out the other day that Daniel's going to be joining us, but some stuff came up. And honestly, he's never watched a single episode of 90210, so he was just going to be here laughing at us anyway.
He was just going to sit here and hold my hand.
But some stuff came up, so we are a Daniel-free environment today. It is just us three girls. Slightly frightening, but
I'm only a little scared.
We've only been talking nonstop for like half an hour before we even started recording. It's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
I mean, what's new with us girls? It's fine.
I mean, Mom and I do that pretty much every week.
So I want to apologize in advance. If you listened to season one's midterm or final, you got to know Abigail. She's back.
She's back.
She's beyond a little crazier now than she was last time.
Like, my mental health has just gotten so much better. So now the ADHD that I am discovering in me has just appeared. So I talk a lot.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I have her on a separate audio file for a reason. I'm hoping that she doesn't pick up on mine and Hannah's mics too bad, so I can...
I'll just start talking extra loud to pick up on you guys' mics.
On the agenda for today, our very first item, I think, is we're talking about story time.
Yeah!
Like our favorite story moments and our least favorite story moments.
Yeah. So real quick, midterm, it's the middle of the season. This is the point of this season of 90210 that they took their winter break. So we are taking our midterm break here to discuss. Now, it was a longer first half than last year.
Yes.
Last year?
Close enough.
The first half of this season was 18 episodes because some of that was summer. And season one didn't start in the summertime, so it was a shorter season all around.
Right.
We still have 10 more episodes to go this season.
Yes.
So it's a little further than halfway through, but hey, that's fine.
Close enough.
Am I correct at the point in the season you guys are at? Because I've already done season...
Walsh Family Christmas.
Walsh Family Christmas? Okay, because I've definitely watched ahead. Because
yes, you have.
I'm not on a weekly podcast. I can watch what I want. I'm done with season three.
Hey, Hannibal, how about we actually start with our description and questions? That'll help Abigail figure out where we're at.
That way I know what to not talk about.
Yes.
So we're kind of going to do like a... I'm going to read our Back to the Peach Pit description for each of the 18 episodes so far. And after each description, Mom is just going to ask me some kind of question.
Yep.
I think about the description or about that
episode.
About
that episode, yeah. It's actually things that are not about the description.
Mm.
So the description is going to be a reminder of what that episode is about. And then I will ask you a question. And only Abigail, only Hannibal answers the question.
Unless she gets stuck and wants my help because I'm awesome.
We're on phone-a-friend.
If she does not phone-a-friend...
Call me, beep me. You want to reach me?
Beep, 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 beep.
I hope it picked that up.
What, me doing the Kim Possible?
Both of you. Wow. All right, so episode one, Beach Blanket Brandon.
Summer kicks off for the students of West Beverly High, and it's already shaping up to be an eventful one. Brandon is working to save up and get himself a new car in the fall, but he's not making enough at the Peach Pit, so he's got to find something else for work. Brenda grows concerned over a home pregnancy test, and her relationship is tested for its strength and durability.
Hannibal, what job did Brandon first apply for at the Beverly Hills Beach Club?
He wanted to be one of the lifeguards, but all of the lifeguards were so much bigger than him. They were at least like a head taller.
It was comically. They were buff. Like, oh my gosh, it was
Jason
hilarious.
Jason Priestley is not a large man.
But that's just like, he's not like the lifeguard type, I'm going to go rescue you, but he's more an endurance runner type.
Yeah.
Just for the muscle.
Yeah.
All right, episode 2, Party Fish.
Party Fish.
Yeah.
I remember being really confused by that title at first.
Yeah.
Brandon starts working at the beach club, and he gets to know another employee named Sandy, who he becomes interested in. He also meets a club member who has an interesting offer for Brandon. For acting class, Brenda recalls a time as a child that she got lost in a department store and discovers a new perspective on the events that helps her access the emotions that she had attached to the memory.
Hannibal, which of the gang are taking the summer class?
It's Brenda, Andrea, Donna, and David.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good job.
The four of them.
Episode 3, Summer Storm.
Dylan's father comes back to town and gets arrested. The Walshes make their best effort to help Dylan out during this, with varying degrees of excitement about the idea. Kelly becomes interested in a boy named Kyle, which Steve is less than pleased about. And meanwhile, David and Donna get a bit creative with their performance of a scene from Romeo and Juliet.
God. Hannibal, why does Dylan move into the Walsh house?
Oh, because he was staying... Wait.
Do you need to phone a friend? Your sister's about to explode over there.
I'm trying to remember, shush.
You're probably be fidgeting over here like... Ah.
I can see your legs. Okay, phone a friend, Abigail.
He got injured during a surfing accident, I believe. I remember he had like the whole ace band around his back, and he was staying in Brandon's room or something like that. So then Brandon kept. So he's injured, so he can't stay alone, and he doesn't have money to stay alone anyways.
Okay. Episode 4, Anaconda.
Steve convinces Brandon to let a group of teenagers into the beach club after hours for a poker game. And after they leave, the club gets robbed. Dylan is a prime suspect in Brandon's eyes, as he was there for the game and has been strapped for cash since his dad was arrested. He's been selling old family belongings to make ends meet, but Jim thinks he should go to see his mother in Hawaii for help instead.
Hannibal, why was Henry afraid that he was going to be blamed for the robbery?
Because he had a something on his record in the past that he was... It was something from when he was like a young adult or like an older teen. And he got in trouble with some friends, and that's still on his record.
Yep, very good. Episode 5, Play It Again, David.
Kelly's mother begins dating David's father, Mel, and Kelly is quick to express her disapproval. Andrea asks Brandon to be a big brother to a boy she knows at the Valley Youth Center, and the more he gets to know the kid, the more he sees how much Felix needs him, despite the boy's difficult behaviors.
Hannibal. What was unique about Brandon's little brother's situation?
He's an only child, and he has a single mom, and she was starting to get frustrated with parenting, I think, and was needing help, and I think she'd hit him, and he had bruises and
physically
stuff.
Physically abusive,
and so Brandon noticed bruises and went... He was advised not to, but we ended up being glad he did because he went straight to the mom to, you know, check in with her and be like, you need help. You need to get help. And she agreed.
Episode 6, Pass, Not Pass.
Nearing the end of summer, everyone is abuzz about the end of summer luau at the beach club. Brandon is psyched to get the Mustang he's been saving for all summer, but he soon finds out a catch about the vehicle. Brenda and Andrea are working on their final project for acting class, and they start to get to know Mr. Suter outside of the classroom.
What happened to the Mustang shortly after Brandon bought it?
He broke down at a stop sign, barely outside of the dealership, and then left it there to go march back and tell the guy off.
Even though the dude technically had it in the thing, but he's just kind of a shady car dealer.
It was an as-is purchase. Brandon just...
Didn't have anyone come with him. Mm-hmm. Old Jimbo wanted to go with, but Brandon's all like, I'm going to be Mr. Independent, blah, 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 blah. But,
yeah. Kids be kids.
Kids be kids.
Rip.
Episode 7, Camping Trip.
To cap off their fun-filled summer, the gang decides to go on a road trip to Yosemite Park together. Unfortunately, they misjudge the weather forecast, and it starts pouring on the way. They stop at a small cabin for the night, and all kinds of exciting events unfold while they're stopped.
What happened when Steve tried to buy alcohol?
The old people that he gave money to, and he asked them to go and buy him alcohol, they stole his money.
No booze for you, Steve.
No booze for Steve.
It wasn't much for him, but at the same time, it's so that, like, he thought he was all cool, like, oh, I can do this, yeah, hair flip, but
meanwhile, like...
He does that. He's got that vibe of just like the, you know, the flip. But he just got showed up and kind of trolled. So it's that.
That's
take really Steve funny. Down a peg. That's what we
need. Yep.
And wasn't it Donna that pointed out, like, isn't that your people?
It's either Donna or David. I'm not one sure of
the
which. Two.
They both did. They're like,
isn't that the people you gave money to? And they're like driving away.
Episode 8, Wildfire.
With the start of a new school year brings a new student, Emily Valentine, and she quickly becomes intertwined with our group of teenagers. Brenda isn't pleased with Emily going on dates with more than one of the boys in the group, but especially with Dylan. Scott returns from Oklahoma, and he and David soon discover that they've both changed over the summer, and they'll have to work hard to rebuild the friendship they once had.
So Hannah, Scott and David used to be so close. Why have they suddenly drifted apart?
Because Scott was gone all summer, and he kind of changed while he was in Oklahoma, and I think as Abigail said earlier, he came back a little bit more yahee, and David's a little bit too hip-hop. So they just don't
yahee and hip-hop anymore. Don't exactly mesh as well.
Not as well.
Unless you're Cowboy Troy.
That's entirely different.
I play chicken with the train. Oh, no, I don't want country stuck in my head.
Uh-huh. Episode 9. Ashes to Ashes.
The Walsh family gets a new security system, and Cindy joins the neighborhood watch. When a new family comes to the neighborhood, the Walsh kids must deal with looking at a different aspect of the world that they don't deal with personally, but that greatly affects their new friends.
Hannibal, who is Robinson Ash III?
He is the youngest child of the Ash family, and he becomes the school photographer for the Blaze.
Yes, very true. Episode 10, Necessity is a Mother.
Dylan is having a hard time adjusting to his mother, Iris, being around, and starts turning to vices and different choices in his life that lead him back down the path he doesn't need to walk anymore. Meanwhile, Donna and Steve get involved with investing into the stock market.
Okay, before I read you the question, I just remembered, it was this episode, I think, that had me off on a Hamilton tangent.
I don't remember.
Meanwhile...
Oh, that's right.
No. Because I literally just started singing that in my head again. Anyhow, what sets Donna off and gets her steaming mad at her friends?
When they keep treating her like she's too dumb to get it. They keep actually telling her that she's too stupid to get it. And then she ends up getting more money than Steve, while Steve mm-hmm. loses all his money.
Mm-hmm. Which does much for Steve, because...
But still.
Regardless. Spoiled rich Beverly Hills kid, but...
It's the effort.
Yeah, it's the effort and the cockiness of Steve being like, oh, I know what to do. We're going to keep in there to find out. I was like, no, we
should pull out.
We made money. Stop being greedy. Just take the money you got and go. Donna's my girl. She's great.
Yep. Episode 11, Leading from the Heart.
The Walsh's cool older cousin Bobby comes to town, and the group has to learn how to view things from his perspective of living life in a wheelchair. Meanwhile, Brenda finally passes her driver's test, but still fears getting on the road. It was this episode that you got on a Hamilton tangent, because
I'm pretty sure
I went and had to listen to this one, and immediately after I read the description, you're like,
meanwhile, I start hearing Aaron Burr in my head singing meanwhile, mm-hmm. Yep.
And you put a clip in there, too.
I did.
Mm-hmm.
Why is Brandon incredibly emotional with Bobby?
Because the day that Bobby had his accident, Brandon was also skiing with him, and he saw the jump that Bobby took before Bobby did. And then Bobby took this jump and went straight into a tree. So it could have been Brandon. Mm-hmm. And Brandon feels like it's almost his fault that Bobby got hurt.
Plus, yeah. If I remember correctly, Brandon said that he was, like, egging him on and dared him to do the jump.
Yes, he did.
He kind of was. They just sort of talked about how that's how their relationship always was. And so when Brandon saw this jump, Bobby had to go for it.
Brandon was egging him on. He was saying, they were both saying that in there. That was part of the thing that Brandon was egging him on.
But Brandon was definitely egging him on. So he's like guilt that day of, like, if I had just let him enjoy the day and wasn't egging him on, or
if I wasn't pushing him, maybe he wouldn't have.
Maybe he wouldn't have been paralyzed.
So he had that, like, survivor's guilt type thing where
he's... Yes, yes. Yeah. It's a good way to say it.
Yeah.
Episode 12, Down and Out of District in Beverly Hills.
Brandon submits an article of Andrea's to a contest and accidentally creates problems with her out-of-district living situation. While she fights with her grandma to convince the school that she lives in-district, Steve meets a new fling and has to learn a lesson about treating his friends with kindness and that he shouldn't trust every nice word that everybody says.
What are the three wrong names that Andrea's grandmother calls Brandon?
Braxton? Brr. There was another Burr, like B-R. They all were B names. Brian?
Brockton.
No, Braxton was the one weird one. Brian?
Brock. Brampton? Branton?
Brockton? Bramford?
Oh, right. Bramford.
Brian.
Brian. I was right. It was Brian.
Okay. And I was right, too. It was Brockton.
Maybe Brockton would like something.
It's Brandon Wall.
Excuse me. I didn't think it was Brandon Mandelbaum. Girls, this is Mr. Bramford Walsh. Brian didn't want to come over.
No, Brandon, Grandma.
It's very sweet that she's trying. I mean, you can treat that in a parental unit. They're trying. So I know that, like...
Well, she's also... It's Andrea's grandmother, so it's not even like it's her parent.
But she still is, like, a guardian, you know?
Yeah.
She's gonna be a parent. Like, Dad has the issue, too. Sometimes he's...
Oh, he does. It's
names
funny.
Names are hard.
Names are hard.
Honestly, I've called my kids at Sunshine the wrong names before.
I call you both the wrong names, girls.
She names are hard. Yesterday. Names are hard. I still know half the people I call my residents. I lived in the same hall for a year. I forget half their names. I see their face. I'm like, I know your face. You used to live in this room with these people that also looked like this. And you're on the football team. But what's your name?
Episode 13, Halloween.
Halloween has got the gang excited for all of the activities that come along with the holiday. Scott tries to convince David to join him in the annual egg fight, despite the presence of the police stopping most of the usual participators. Some of the gang are going to a costume party, including Donna, Kelly, Brenda, Dylan, and Steve, but Brandon, not about the party scene, stays home to see trick-or-treaters and gets an unexpected guest that stops by to say hello.
Annabelle, describe each of the gang's costumes.
So, I'm going to start with Donna, because otherwise I'm going to die of laughter later. Yep. Donna's a mermaid, and it's a very, very tight mermaid tail all the way down, including her feet, so she can't even walk anywhere. She's kind of just posted up in one corner of the room.
Yep, poor girl.
And has to spend most of the night trying to shift in a direction, and can't go to the bathroom by herself. Kelly's like a very exposed... Witch?
Slutty witch?
Slutty witch.
Yep.
I was trying to be nice.
Oh, no.
So slutty, whatever.
Brenda and Dylan are Bonnie and Clyde.
Mm-hmm.
Steve was Zorro.
Yep.
And then not Dylan. David. Did David have a costume?
Nope.
He just dressed nice.
Yeah, because he was the DJ.
Yep.
But then he ended up leaving early. Was that everybody?
Brandon.
Brandon dresses up as a really terrible vampire.
Yes.
With just teeth and a cape.
Yes, very good. Hey, Abigail, would you like to say how you describe this episode?
I feel it's like taking a dog for the walk where you go put it down at the end of its life. So we're just taking old Scotty Boy for a walk before they put him down in the next episode. But that bittersweet.
Yeah.
You know, you take the dog for a cheeseburger and ice cream for the last time.
Moving on. Episode 14, the next 15.
Hold on, we need to pause for a second. Abigail's going to cry.
Episode 14, the next 50 years.
In this week's episode, we get to take a deeper look at the friendships we all build throughout our life and how different people can deal with grief and loss.
Hannibal, name three items the gang puts in the time capsule at the end.
Dylan puts in surfboard wax, and he has a inspirational thing to go with it.
Yep.
Donna puts in the spandex.
Yep.
And David puts in Scott's hat.
Yes. Are you okay, Abigail?
I'm still crying about dogs. Move on.
Oh my gosh, it was your own example. You're crying about it.
I know, but I love dogs.
You're funny. Episode 15, Euphoria.
The gang are invited by Emily to an exclusive underground club. And at first, it all seems semi-normal. But then David starts drinking in excess. They all notice patrons of the club partaking in various drugs. And then Emily has an out-of-the-box idea for her and Brandon to enjoy. And despite his clear protests against it, she goes ahead with her plan without him knowing it.
Hannibal, why does Andrea decide to go to this rave even though it's not her usual thing?
Well, Emily was kind of like teasing her about not going to it, and then she decided it would be a really good piece for the Blaze.
Yes. Episode 16, My Desperate Valentine.
Emily has a hard time accepting her and Brandon's breakup, and everyone starts to notice just how deeply it's affecting her. Brenda wants to try doing something cultural with Dylan to mix up their usual date schedule, and they see if they can handle keeping their hands to themselves on a date.
Spoiler, they're not successful.
Mostly unsuccessful.
Hannibal, what finally makes Brandon snap at Emily?
When she tries kissing his neck in a picture of everybody that they were taking in front of the float they all just built.
Yep.
Not the cake. Not stealing his shirt, not trying to sneak into bed with him. It was her kissing his neck that finally was the last straw.
I think what made him flip out is that it wasn't just like a private moment that he could kind of just ignore and box away and handle privately like he likes to do.
It was in front of everybody.
It was in front of everyone, very clear, trying to get attention, where he couldn't ignore it and brush it away.
Yep. Yes. Episode 17, Chucky's back.
With rumors flying about a potential Hartley House reunion show, Steve is now forced to spend time with his mother's old co-worker from the show, her TV son, Chucky. The former child star's entitled attitude will end up getting Steve into a bit of trouble, but then Steve sets off on a mission to find out about his past and where he comes from.
Hannibal, what was the last thing Kelly said to Steve before he got on the bus?
No matter what you find out there, we'll always be your family.
And the last one that we're going to be discussing today, episode 18, Walsh Family Christmas.
The Walshes celebrate their first Beverly Hills Christmas with all of their friends, and everyone finds out how much they appreciate being with the ones they love at the holidays. Plus, a surprise dinner guest teaches them about what the spirit of Christmas really means.
How many people total were together singing White Christmas at the Walsh house?
Okay, not counting Brandon and the Sanders, because they were outside
when they came in.
They came in, but I don't know. Singing?
They were singing at the end. Okay,
so then including them.
Yes.
I'm going to count them while I say all of their names because I won't be able to just know it off the top of my head. Brandon, Brenda, Cindy, Jim, Steve, Samantha, Kelly, Jackie, Mel, David, Donna, Santa, Andrea, Dylan, and I think that's everybody. 14. No?
So I'm looking at the video here that I took of it.
Okay.
Now, the funny thing is, earlier in the video, Santa is there. Nat is there still.
Nat! That's who I forgot.
But then, after that, and this pan over there, where's Santa?
Wait.
It's Christmas Eve. Santa disappears.
Wait, go back. He wasn't. He was right there by Nat.
Steve and Samantha.
Steve and Samantha walk in.
He looks at him like, I know you. Santa winks at him. Brandon comes over by Andrea. Steve gets sat down. Kelly hugs him. At this point, you can still see Santa's arm there.
No, that's Samantha.
That's Samantha, you're right.
She's in red.
Santa vanished!
Santa vanished during the singing! I didn't even notice that the two times we watched it.
So, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 if Santa was there.
So I counted Santa, forgot Nat, but Santa wasn't there.
Vanished!
Was that intentional or did they just...
That was probably intentional because it was intentional. Christmas Eve. They were having Christmas Eve dinner.
And it was the same exact Santa, like three different locations throughout the place. He was in multiple places at once.
That's actually really cool. The real
Santa. We totally didn't notice that. That was a little fun tidbit I just figured out.
Now we noticed it.
You're welcome,
people. And now we mentioned it. That's actually super cool. And an interesting detail to add that probably not many people noticed, but the people who notice it, it means something.
He is the real Santa.
I mean, duh.
All right, so what is your favorite story and your least favorite story moment of this entire first half of the season?
So my favorite story moment is just the entire camping trip, because I feel like that was the point when, because up until that point, we were still in summer, and then after that was when we came back to school. I just loved that it had that trip episodes where characters aren't in their usual environment are sometimes the most fun, and that was the very first episode in the show that had the whole gang all together in the same place.
Hannah, what's your least favorite moment of the whole stories?
My least favorite in this first half of season two was Kelly getting attacked on Halloween, because it was painful to have seen it coming, to be worried about it coming, and then have to watch her go through that.
Yeah.
I almost said the thing with Scott, but at the same time, I know that that was something that needed to happen mm-hmm. because he wasn't going to be in the show anymore. I felt like doing that to Kelly was perhaps a bit unnecessary, but at the same time, it was a lesson she needed to learn.
It was.
But I still didn't like seeing that.
Yeah,
No one likes to see it, but it's important to discuss it. It's exactly. Really hard when we have training on it with my job. We have to go through training on how to help people handle that, or can't just mm-hmm. like be a friend and comfort, but how do we professionally handle this?
Yeah.
It's not just that, but we also talk about like,
same thing with the season. We also talk about suicide in my job. How do we professionally handle this in a respectful way that's helpful?
It's so hard. Abigail, in these first 18 episodes, do you have a favorite or a least favorite moment?
You know, I really didn't like the beginning of the season where Dylan and Brenda broke up for a little while over the summer. I feel like that when a relationship gets hard and you have problems like this, it was very immature just to completely take a break. I feel like you should talk about it and work on it together. That's a healthy part of a relationship. But then again, Beverly Hills, no one really has healthy relationships.
They're also really young. They were still learning young. How to They're have still a learning healthy relationship. Exactly. Yeah.
And, like, I think the only really healthy relationship in Beverly Hills is, you know, the Walsh parents, but, you know, Jim and Cindy.
It's just Jim and
Cindy. They kind of rock.
But otherwise, people are still learning how to have healthy relationships. I find that very immature, and it frustrated me, because I'm sitting there just like, just talk to each other, express your feelings, don't just be like, I need time away. It's like, I understand if you need time alone, but if you're in a relationship, you're supposed to rely on each other.
Yeah.
Your partners. That frustrated me. Still worked for their characters, still was valid. Mm-hmm. But I got frustrated by it because I would have done something completely different.
What about a favorite moment?
I liked the whole Steve plot of him trying to find his family. Like, I was crying so hard during that part. Just like,
yeah.
Because he's just a softie. And just to see him find answers that he was just so angsty about. Oh, man. I just was.
And then when he came back and, like, he found his real mom, I cried every single time Mom played that clip.
I'm crying right now.
I could play that clip and you could make you both weep. It'd be funny.
Let's not do that. That's
all right, exactly so how about I share mine so you can stop crying?
Perfect. Stop crying about dogs.
My least favorite, I'm going to go with that one first.
Okay.
Was the Grunions in Party Fish. The whole episode was named Party Fish.
Right, but they were.
But it was such a tiny portion of the story that it was stupid.
And it just seemed
pointless. And especially because that's what they named the episode afterwards. After it didn't make sense. And I just, there's a whole bunch of that episode I didn't like. That was the episode with the creepy tennis dude and
there was just so much. Creepy tennis dude.
I just, that whole story of that episode,
ugh.
I could delete that from my brain and I'd be happy.
Well, so it's just another episode where Brandon has
chases a skirt.
Episode where Brandon chases a skirt?
Yep.
A skirt?
What was that? How'd that go?
A skirt.
Captain Kirk?
Anywho.
Anywho.
My favorite. I'm sure this will come as not a surprise to anyone who has listened.
Wait. Can I guess it?
Yeah.
The Christmas episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love Christmas.
This is a good Christmas episode.
It was such a good Christmas episode.
Not every show can do as good of Christmas episodes as this.
I don't know if they're going to be able to top this one. Because this was really good.
It was really good.
We'll
have to see.
All right, so...
You'll have to see.
Hannibal, let's discuss. Do you remember what predictions you made?
I kind of remember, like, early... Like, before we started season two at all, Mm-hmm. Towards the end of season one, they tried to throw in some of those random weird, like, Steve and Andrea things.
Yeah.
So I was guessing that maybe they're going to go a different route, and instead of Brandon and Andrea, it'll be Steve and Andrea. That obviously
so far, it's no one and Andrea.
It's no one and Andrea. Andrea's been very, like, low-key this season so far.
She has been, yeah.
Other than the stuff with the acting class, she's been pretty on...
And, you know, almost getting kicked out of school because she lives out of district.
Yes.
That's nothing new.
But
what other predictions did you make that have come true?
That have come true?
David and Donna.
That's right. Did I predict David and Donna?
Oh, T-P. You
did.
Oh, T-P.
That's right, I did.
Yeah, towards the end of season one, you were like,
David and Donna would be so cute together.
I'm like, it's killing me. I want to say David and Donna. But yes. David and Donna are a thing.
David and Donna are David and Donna.
They are.
Yes.
Speaking of relationships, what are your thoughts on Jack and Mel?
Jackie and Mel?
Jackie and Mel, yeah. How do you feel about them right now?
I think they're really cute. I think they're gonna... Like, I feel like it's weird that you guys are asking me about it.
It's an important thing, because you have that conflict between... Then you have David, who used to have a crush on Kelly, is now... Like, their parents are dating, and it's just like that.
But the thing is that, like, he has gotten over his crush a long time ago.
Right, so now they're friends, but they saw the awkward dynamic of these two friends. Their parents dating.
After the Christmas episode, the way that they interacted with each other looked a lot more to me like siblings.
It did.
And so...
Sorry, go ahead.
And so I could see Jackie and Mel becoming a long-term permanent thing.
Yeah.
And then Kelly and David becoming like step-siblings.
Yeah.
I could see that, honestly.
I definitely could see their sibling relationship, definitely.
It makes sense, and especially with how they've developed personality-wise so far. It really meshes well. So,
let's see. I'm trying to remember what other predictions you made.
Kelly just needs a sibling.
Do you want me to talk about my predictions for the next 10 episodes?
Yes, I would love to hear predictions for the next 10 episodes.
Perfect.
Let's hear it.
So, I do think we're going to get some multi-episode relationship drama from at least one couple. Because, like, we had that at the beginning of season two, where, like, for multiple episodes, Dylan and Brenda were not together, but it was like that, will they, won't they, will they get back together, will they stay separated? There was, like, but it was multiple episodes. I think we'll get another something like that, either with Brenda and Dylan again, because they're dramatic, or with Donna and David, now that we have another couple officially in the group that is, like, official.
Okay.
We've got to see some more Brandon and Andrea, especially after he full-on kissed her on the lips in the Christmas episode as a greeting. I feel like we're going to have to get some kind of progress made there. And they've kind of sprinkled in a couple mentionings of, Andrea's mentioned a couple times that she did or does still have feelings for Brandon, mm-hmm. and he never really reciprocated them. I wonder about the ongoing Steve and Kelly maybe will they, won't they? Because they've kind of thrown in Kelly mentioning Steve a lot more or being more concerned for him.
Yeah.
Or missing him and missing his presence. So I wonder if they're going to do like a non-reciprocated feelings or maybe they'll get back together kind of thing. I think something may happen there. And they have to mention the thing that happened with Steve in Chucky's back. Because he got suspended.
Hopefully.
And Brandon said to Steve in show that if he got suspended, he could get an incomplete for the entire semester and would have to redo that in summer classes.
Yeah, that is a possibility.
Somehow. So, and they never touched on it the rest of the episode, didn't mention it at all in Walsh Family Christmas. So I feel like they may get back to that, or it'll just be one of those weird things that they never mention again.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, definitely when I watched this, it was one of my predictions that I agree with you that Steve's going to continue to have problems with the education system just because it seems like his character, he just very much wants to find corners to cut.
Yeah. That's Steve's way.
Yeah.
He uses, like, scissors that have the cool patterns on them so he can cut corners.
You're crazy.
But I think all of that, like, possible relationship drama or possible, like, drama with school, I feel like a lot of that could happen in the next 10 episodes between now and summertime. Because this show is quite fond of its very fast-developing drama.
Yes.
Think about that in real life. Like, when issues might seem, like, really big in high school, you're like, oh my gosh, this just happened.
The biggest deal ever.
It does move really fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It does.
Any others?
Nope, those are my predictions awesome. For right now. I'm trying to keep them vague so that way there's a little bit more of a chance of
being right.
Fair yeah. enough. But mostly my predictions are just it's going to be relationship drama. We've had a lot of individual drama mm-hmm. this season. And now I'm like, now they're going to bring back the relationship drama. I can just sense it coming.
That's a good guess.
I mean, just because I spaced out a little during what you were talking about. Are you meaning just relationships as in like, mwah, mwah, or relationships as in like adult-child relationships?
Mostly I'm meaning relationships as in like, mwah, mwah. Mwah, mwah. Because, oh my god, jeepers. Okay, so to sum up,
sweet Jesus.
I'm expecting some kind of progress, whether that be negative or positive progress for Brandon and Andrea. Something maybe with David and Donna. We have Brendan and Dylan are just dramatic all the time. They yeah. started the season at dramatic, so they could come back and be dramatic at any time. And then we have Jackie and Mel, and I think they'll become more of a permanent continuing thing.
Those are some great predictions. I look Thank forward you. To seeing what you think of all that happens in the next 10 episodes.
I'm excited too.
All right, so to end our midterm, I'm doing something a little different today.
Ooh,
we're at the end already?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're already that close to the end.
Mm. I spaced out a lot.
Yes, you did, dear.
Carry on. That's all right. Next.
So, Hannibal and I, Abigail, did you just try to eat your hair?
No, move on.
Golly jeepers, child. So, Hannibal and I tend to go off on tangents about other media things that we're into. So I thought this would be a good opportunity for us to each share. If there's any other podcasts or YouTubers that you're like super into, because a lot of the YouTubers, I consider them like video podcasts.
Yeah.
So if we could each think of, I don't know, 3, 4,
I have
5.
Four.
Awesome. Think of a few podcasts or YouTubers that you're like really into, and let's give them as a suggestion, and let's explain why we suggest them. What about them do you love so much? Hannah, you go first. Tell us one of yours.
Okay. My first one, his name is Philip DeFranco. He's a YouTuber.
Okay.
I really enjoy his style of how he presents different current event stories. He gives the facts of the story sourced from multiple different news sites. And then he gives his opinion and states beforehand that it is his opinion, not part of the facts. And then he hands it off to the audience saying, and then I want to pass it off to you. What are your thoughts on this story? Do you agree, disagree? What are your thoughts? And he makes it a conversation. And nice. So I really enjoy the way that he presents those current event stories.
Very cool. Hey, Abigail, what's one of your favorites?
Well, a lot of mine are kind of in the same category, or at least 2 or 3 of them definitely are. But for me, I have a hard time listening to podcasts because I'm a very visual person. Like, mm-hmm. if I'm hearing you talk, I need to either read your lips or you need to have subtitles or I will not understand a single word you're saying. So, like, I can't process podcasts at all. So, I have a hard time with that. So, I have to, like, watch, like you said, YouTube videos. Mm-hmm. They're basically video podcasts because I'm reading their lips. The subtitles are usually auto-generated and they're kind of poop. But I'm reading their lips.
Yeah, YouTube subtitles are not great.
Unless they, like, make them on their own.
Right.
Then they're accurate. But anyways, I have to read their lips while they're talking. So that's why I prefer YouTube. I really like to watch like, gameplay type stuff.
Okay.
Watch people play video games because I grew up with...
I watch a lot of that, too.
We grew up with Dad playing video games. That was our entertainment. We would watch TV. We would watch Dad play video games and help give him advice. Like, oh, no, no. There's a guy in the corner.
What's your favorite one?
I really like Markiplier and Jacksepticeye.
I love Markiplier.
I probably took it from you. But suck it. I really like them just because not only do they have great gameplay and they're pretty good video games, but they kind of get a little ragey and I do too. But then they also have lore with their channel. Like, they create stories sometimes too. They have like...
Or like Markiplier's whole Unus Honest thing that he did for a whole
redacted.
Year.
Redacted. Stop it. It doesn't exist anymore. We can't talk about it.
Redacted.
That's the whole meme. You missed it, Mom. Anyways, so that's why I really like them too, because not only do they always post a lot of game videos, but sometimes they do have their own podcast, at least Mark does with some of his friends, mm-hmm. but I like watching theirs because they occasionally will post like a story or where they're like, or they one time Mark did like a whole choose your own adventure thing. It's just, I like
yeah.
fun. They're entertaining.
He's fun. Like fun.
And loud. They're fun.
Markiplier is a good time.
Perfect for you.
So those two are like the same branch.
What about you, Mom? What's one of yours?
So one of my top favorite podcasts, because unlike you girls, I can't do the video ones like mm-hmm. on YouTube because I get so lost watching them. that I can't do anything else in life. And when I listen to these kind of things, the way I like to do it is I'm listening to the podcast while I'm doing something, whether it's washing dishes or, you know, doing things.
Yeah.
Playing a game on my phone, that kind of stuff. One of my favorites is called No Dumb Questions.
We've talked about them on this podcast before.
Yes, they are so funny. Let me pull up their page here so I can get their information correct.
Their information.
Mm-hmm. You know. So as they describe themselves on their thing, a science guy from the deep south, Destin, and a humanities guy from the wild west, Matt, discuss deep questions with varying levels of maturity.
I love that.
That's how they describe themselves.
Varying levels of maturity.
Destin is, he also does have a YouTube channel. And I know I mentioned his name on the podcast I was listening to there. And Dad's like, wait, Destin Sandlin? I'm like, yeah. Apparently Dad watches his YouTube channel.
Oh, cool.
It's Smarter Every Day. And so
he's
a rocket scientist, guys.
Right. He's super smart.
Matt Whitman is a pastor.
Yes.
Having a rocket scientist and a pastor have random conversations, it's hilarious, it's educational, it's entertaining. It's the kind of thing I can just kind of listen to in the background, and I learn stuff from them that I never knew I would learn. And I probably never needed to learn is accurate.
But it's fun.
But as someone who grew up, like we've talked before actually in the podcast, in a time where learning disabilities were not recognized the type that I had, I was told I was stupid, I was told I was dumb, I was told I wasn't smart enough to learn. I felt these things, I believed these things. So having somebody who can talk about these levels of science that start making sense to me, because they make it
easy to understand.
Yeah. It's really fun.
I like it. And so, I like the name of it, No Dumb Questions.
Yeah. And there's sometimes those, like, when I was like, hey, I have a dumb question. Oh, there are no dumb questions. They make a joke of it regularly because they're both dads and they live the dad joke.
Of course.
All right, Hannibal, give us another one of yours.
Another one of my favorites is Dr. Mike. And doctor is spelled out, and he is an actual medical professional. And he's a family doctor with his own practice and everything. Nice. But he also has this YouTube channel where he'll go over like different kinds of conditions or diseases and misinformation around them. He'll answer frequently asked medical questions, ones that fans send in. But it's all very educational because he, as he said, he got sick of seeing all of the misinformation that gets spread about at-home cures and not just like treating symptoms, but at home cures. And he's like, none of those are real, or all of the BuzzFeed like made up medical nonsense. And all the things that you see on the internet's such a big place where anybody can say anything. He wanted to make a platform, or his channel is a place where it's at least, you know, for sure that he does know the facts, or if he doesn't know them off the top of his head, he will look them up and he will talk to someone. And he brings in guests and stuff who know about these different types of things than he does.
Awesome. How about you, Abigail?
You guys have very educational stuff that you watch. I watch YouTube to get away from my brain.
I also
do that. Oh, just wait. My second and third ones get...
I'm pretty sure I got you beat here. My next one's Say Yes to the Dress. I like watching that YouTube channel because I like to dream about eventually having that enough money to go to Kleinfeld and get that kind of dress. But let's be real, I'm getting married in like less than 9 months and I don't have that money. I've already bought my dress. So,
but I can just dream.
Yeah, I'm a bride. I've liked watching it for years because I was like, ooh, no, you can do with this. It's just entertaining, okay? I like weddings. Anyways, that's another one of mine. I like watching the UK ones a bit more, especially the Lancashire
UK ones are more fun.
Well, not the one with David, whatever. He's always about, like, he goes way about you beyond the budget, and it frustrates me. Like, stick to the budget, sir.
Yeah,
he's a royal dress designer, and he's like, what's your budget?
He intentionally goes beyond the bride's
like,
budget.
Not just a couple hundred. He, like, picks a dress that's a couple thousand over the budget, and just, like,
walk away.
But then he convinces the brides that it's their perfect dress.
I like the one with Gawk, because he's always very supportive. Yes. And, like, he always goes under the budget if he can and gets a dress that just is not seen elsewhere. I like watching that just because I like to dream.
It is fun.
Yeah,
fun. Yeah. Another one of yours, Mom.
All right. So for my second one, it's actually, they have a podcast and a YouTube channel.
Nice.
The Holderness Family.
I love the Holderness Family.
So they started off many, many, many years ago with Christmas jammies.
The videos. Christmas jammies.
It was so funny. I'm sure everybody listening remembers seeing that spread all over the place. The Christmas jammies
video. It went viral for a while.
Oh my gosh. I love this family so much. they have a podcast that's mm-hmm. just the mom and the dad, and they're talking about deep issues. They bring on therapists and pastors and friends and
yeah.
specialists, and they really talk about marriage and life and kids. And it's less of the funny and more of like, wow, I'm really bettering myself and connecting. Yeah, really good stuff like that. And then I'll go over and watch their YouTube channel and their videos they put on Facebook, and I'm just dying of laughter.
Oh my gosh.
Because these people are so deep and so funny all at the same time. So I like both of their YouTube and their podcast channels. They mm-hmm. crack me up and they educate me all at the same time.
Want to know something funny? Yeah. I was so close to putting the Holderness family on as one of my like
They're
top
the
ones.
Best.
Oh yeah.
They're great.
They're super fun. I haven't watched them actively in a while.
Oh my goodness.
But I do love their stuff
I'll
whenever
go,
I do
like,
see it.
About every couple months, and I'll just binge everything that they've put out for the last couple months.
Yeah.
And then I'll wait another couple months.
I will say that I do tend to watch a lot more of the like Kitchen Nightmares and Markiplier.
Have you seen the Kitchen Nightmares ones? They like someone else has taken over the channel in the last few months where all the titles are memes now. It's
yes,
like,
I love it.
Oh gosh.
All right. Go. Let's do one more each.
One more
and
each.
Then we're moving on to one last question before we finish.
So my last one is the channel on YouTube is called Babish, B-A-B-I-S-H, Culinary Universe.
You sleep through all their videos. They like lull you to sleep at this point.
Well, some of them, I do enjoy his videos because he does all of his, it's a cooking channel, and he does all of his videos where you only see from the shoulders to the waist. Basically, you just see the counter with all the food and then just arms cooking food.
Oh,
you don't
weird.
Actually see his head, but he does a voiceover of the whole thing. So he doesn't have to worry about what his audio is when he's cooking
yeah.
or talking over oil splattering or something like that.
That's hard to do.
He just narrates himself, and sometimes he does funny little like, oh, I dropped the thing there. Whoops, that's my bad. And but he just has a very like soothing, deep voice. So sometimes I will put on his videos to sleep.
Oh my goodness, that's funny.
But he also does a lot of cool like food from TV shows and movies, and he does like these basics videos, like basics of different kinds of foods that people commonly enjoy. And so he just kind of, it is a little bit educational, but it is pretty fun to just watch people cook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Abigail, do you have a third one that you'd like to share?
I have like a whole collection. I probably could do like a top 10 tier list if I wanted to. Maybe like top 20. But if I had to pick one, she hasn't put out any new videos recently that she's taking a break from the internet for particularly the foreseeable future. I love Jenna Marbles.
Oh my god.
She's just an iconic person from the internet.
I think she's gone from the internet.
I know, and, like, it's good for her because she needs to work on her mental health. Just, you know, the whole cancel culture got to her, but mm-hmm. she didn't do anything wrong, and it just really hit her. She's such a sweet person that she just chose to step down, and, like, she couldn't handle the fact that she hurt someone. So she just left.
Yeah.
And she did apologize for it and then just stepped back, and she's living her life. Her and Julian, her now fiancé, congratulations to them. I like the two of them because Jenna did a lot more of the random. She's going to do whatever she wants, you know.
She's done some weird bleach fail videos and
or
stuff
she
like
just,
that.
Or she just did whatever her heart desired. Like, one time she just stuck a bunch of rhinestones on her face to make herself into a disco ball. Or she, like, one time made, a train for her dogs. It's just very wholesome content that's just very just whatever she wants. Or Julian, her partner, he does a lot of cooking stuff for gameplay stuff. And I just like watching them because they're just very my type of people. Very much, they're going to do whatever they want, and you just enjoy their content if you choose to.
Nice.
So I like them a lot. If I had to pick my next favorite one, I guess if I had to pick one more of my favorites, those they're partners. Their two yeah. channels get to count. But there's a lot more. I can do a separate like video.
I mean, same.
All of my top favorites, yeah. but like.
And see, you had four.
I did have four.
Oh, good, because I realized I have a fourth one, too.
I'll pick a fourth one, sure.
Okay, good, because I have a fourth one. I'm like, I couldn't decide between the two. So my third one is actually by one of the same guys as my first one, the 10-Minute Bible Hour podcast.
The 10-Minute Bible Hour podcast.
Matt Whitman, he is the funniest pastor. He's lived in Montana, Wyoming, South Dakota, Colorado, this whole zone. He's lived all around here.
Yeah.
So he's very much the mountain man kind of vibe that I totally dig.
Western cowboy.
Yeah, but not really cowboy-y. Kind of, he's the one who goes, he went out on one of his, because he does YouTube videos and his podcast, mm-hmm. the audio podcast, and he went on one of them was fly fishing, talking about some deep biblical thing.
Well,
he catches the fish and just to look how beautiful they are and releases them. He doesn't like killing animals, but he loves eating them.
I respect that.
He just has such a sweet, gentle heart, he can't bring himself to hurt an animal.
Yep,
I feel that.
But he loves steak like nobody's business. So the 10-minute Bible hour, he takes 10 minutes a day, 5 days a week, and he's just digging through the book of Matthew out of the Bible.
Okay.
And it's like the tiniest little snippet at a time. And explaining these things in a way that a common everyday person who's never opened the Bible would be like, oh, is that what that means? And he totally approaches it to where it's like, if you don't believe in the Bible, or you are completely sold on this and this is your life's mission, we can still be friends and we can still talk about this.
I like that.
And understand what this historical document is meaning. And so I really like the way he approaches that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I'm going to toss out my fourth one here. So we're just going to do our third and our fourth at the same time.
Okay.
We already did our third.
What?
We both just did our third.
Well, I'm going right into my fourth because I don't want to stop.
Cool, and then we'll just go around.
Sure. The Office Ladies podcast.
Nice. How can you not?
I mean, I love them.
Angela and Jenna are iconic.
Even if you don't watch podcasts, you know of the Office Ladies podcast.
They're wonderful.
I listen to their pods. It's a listen, not a watch.
Six of one. You consume it.
It's okay. We joke around. We half the time say watch when we're talking about ourselves. You consume like, wait, the media. I mean, listen.
Sometimes I'll forget that they can't see me and I'll do finger guns.
She does.
You click with it.
She doesn't click. She'll just... And nobody can see that because I'm being like,
Hannah. You can hear her bony little fingers. You put your finger right next to the microphone, you can hear bony little fingers make a sound, okay?
So anyhow, I love The Office Ladies. That is actually one of the things before we started our podcast.
That's what helped inspire you to
decide. Did. It's like, I'm like, I really think we could do this. And just,
yeah.
And I take some of our original formatting and our ideas and how I wanted our podcast to flow came from The Office Ladies and one that I used to listen to, but it's already done, Dawson Speak.
Yes.
And I've mentioned them way, but they're already way done. They are
Dawson's
not putting out
Creek,
new.
Oh, my heart.
They're not putting out any new episodes. They're completely through the series. But those two are very similar in how they go through an episode, and that's how I started looking at how we wanted to do this.
I love Dawson's Creek.
I love The Office Ladies podcast.
I love The Office Ladies podcast. I love Jenna Fisher. I love Angela Kinsey. I think they're funny. Their friendship is just so true and natural.
Mm-hmm. And it gives them really good chemistry on air.
There are ones that I will not name. There are other podcasts that are done by stars of shows that it's very fake and forced and it doesn't come across natural. Mm-hmm. And it makes me sad because I'm like, why are you bothering? You're just trying to get money or I don't know what's up. Do it because you love it. And Angela and Jenna, you can tell, love it and have a true, honest friendship.
Yeah, we're going through Jenna's book in my acting class right now, you know, her actor survival guide. That's actually the book we're going through in our class for audition prep. We're like, how do we handle rejection and anxiety and just maybe you're going to fail a long time? How do you keep going?
Mm-hmm.
Or how do you start?
She's a good one to listen to.
Also, you just mentioned Dawson's Creek and I'm crying now. I'm still not emotionally over that.
All right, Hannibal, what's your fourth one?
So my fourth one is a little bit more of a fun one. It's the Cinema Wins channel.
A lot of people
are familiar with Cinema Sins because they've kind of become a meme at this point. But there's another guy who's completely separate from Cinema Sins who does Cinema Wins. He takes all kinds of movies, whether they be new movies coming out, old ones that people commonly hate, whatever it may be, and he finds the good things about it. Because as he says, no movie is just entirely bad. Yeah. Every movie has something that's good about it. Maybe it's just the lighting. Maybe it's just the one actor that was really good. Who knows?
I beg to disagree. I could find me some Nicolas Cage movies that are entirely bad.
I don't know. I don't think he's done Con Air, but he has done Prometheus. And I actually agreed with him saying, okay, it's not an awful movie.
Con Air is an awful movie. Face Off is an awful movie.
See, I think...
But they're so awful, they're good.
No, just awful.
This guy would still find positives about it. And that's what I love about his channel, though.
Oh, that'd be
funny.
Is that
because a lot of people these days do just enjoy talking about movies.
The negativity.
The negativity of exchanging, oh, this movie's so bad, this movie's so bad. Whereas this guy is like, any movie has something good about it. It's somebody's favorite movie somewhere out there. Even if they may never admit it to people, someone's favorite movie is Prometheus. Someone. I don't know who, but someone's favorite movie is Con Air. Someone.
Sorry, I gagged a little bit there.
I don't know who, but that's someone's favorite movie. Same as there are some people who hated Episode 8 of Star Wars and some people like me who loved it.
Get out.
All right, Abigail, so what's your next one?
So just to try to keep my very variety, because I can fill in a lot in between of what I enjoy, I'll try to keep it a variety. Another channel that I really like is a little out of left field. I like watching Bondi Rescue. It's from the Australian Bondi Beach. Like, apparently for, like, at least 10 years now, they've had a TV show on Australian Netflix that they now are posting a lot of their content on YouTube. So I can just watch people get rescued on surfboards. A lot of them are, like, super funny. And it's super, I know, it's completely out of left field. You're dying of laughter.
What?
But watch their channel. It's really entertaining. Because
text it to me.
Because they actually are rescuing people in this channel. They actually have had, like, a TV show in Australia that's running on Australian air for, like, years that they're now putting on a YouTube channel for, like, nations wide and all over really the world. Cool. They're so cool. Like, they rescue people and animals. Sometimes they just have a good time and prank each other. Like, wholesome pranks, not just, like, the creepy pranks they have now, but, like, actual, I'm a prank you, let's be funny type thing. It's just some dudes living lifeguard lives.
That's
it's
awesome.
It's really fun. And also, it's Australian, so.
All right, it's so fun. Let's pull away from the the online media. So yes. Not podcasting, not YouTube. But let's think about all-time favorite TV shows.
I also have four for this one.
You guys go first. Come back to me. I forgot
Hannah,
about to think about
this. What's your first
one
that... Do you want to do all 4 years at once?
Thank you. I need the help.
Sounds good. So my first one, and these aren't in order of favorite. They're just the four.
Gotcha.
One of them, it's called... it's spelled S-C-H-I-T-T. Schitt's Creek.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
I love that show. It's kind of, it's that like comedy, but it's sort of got drama in it. And I love the character dynamics in there because it's this like caricature of a rich people family that suddenly because of a, I think they actually have all their money stolen by like a manager kind of person. And then their only asset that remains is this town that they bought as a joke called Schitt's Creek.
That's funny.
And they bought it because it sounds like a bad word and they thought it was funny. So they bought the town. It's like a nowhere, like one tiny little school kind of nowhere town. And suddenly this is their only asset. So now they have to go from living in a mansion and living rich people life to living out of a motel.
That's
all in
funny.
The same motel room together, the four of them.
Where do you watch this at?
Netflix.
Netflix. Awesome.
Yes. Next one is Stranger Things, also Netflix.
Awesome.
It's got great character dynamics. It's got a really intriguing story.
Beautiful
special effects. And just enough of that horror movie element that I do sometimes enjoy in a show without it being enough that you and I can't handle it. Because
yeah, I don't handle the horror very well.
No, but Stranger Things we can handle.
Yeah, yeah.
Plus, it has some of that like coming of age sort of preteen drama, which is always fun.
Absolutely.
One of my other ones is Avatar The Last Airbender. And
you're so cute.
Because even though it is a kid's show, it deals with a lot of really serious topics in a very kid-friendly way. Things like they talk about genocide and abuse. They talk about, you know, ableism with people with disabilities. They talk about war and how to handle that. And they do it in this very easy to understand way for kids, but yet it's still an enjoyable show for adults to watch, as I have rewatched it multiple times in the last week.
Nice.
Plus, it has one of the only true, like, villain to hero stories that I think doesn't end with this character dying.
Yeah.
Rip.
All right. So, next one.
And my last one, it's an anime. Don't judge me.
No judgment, honey. No.
Fruits Basket is, it's got some fantasy elements to it. It's kind of dealing, some of the elements are based off of like the Chinese zodiac.
Okay.
And so it's all the like animals to do with the zodiac, but it has this like developing story that starts like, sometimes a show kind of takes a few episodes to kick in with the main story, does a little bit of exposition. This one does not. It jumps straight in with the main plot, and there are things from the very beginning, when you, like, rewatch it, that, like, they were building from something that they didn't even mention until season 3, but they started showing it in season 1.
Wow.
It's a beautiful story, and I've cried multiple times in that show.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah. All right, who's next?
All right, Abigail, what are your top 3 to 5 all-time, not have to be Crohn's, all-time favorite TV shows?
Okay. I have 3. There might be a 4th, but this is definitely, like, the 3.
Top gotcha. 3. Love it.
They're not in any order. Okay. I could do an order, but that's, like, a different... I'd have to, like, different time.
Yeah.
So, number one. Well, number A, sure. Chuck.
I love Chuck.
Yes! Chuck is so good.
Rewatch it. It's on Amazon Prime.
Mm-hmm.
We love it. I just really like that it's that typical spy show, but it still has the romance in it. And just, this is on my favorites list because it's just so iconic for the age that it's in. Mm-hmm. It kind of was ahead of its time. Because if this came out now, people would be freaking out about how great it is. But it came out in like 2007 or 8 when it first started airing.
Yeah.
And it finished in like 2012, I think.
It got canceled because people weren't as into it.
But if it had aired now, it'd be so huge. But it's 10 years old or more. But it just the story is so good. They did so good with what they had.
And it's hilarious.
And it's so different. They had that will they, won't they, but it's logical with it. They have a reason as to why, because they have a cover relationship. They can't interfere their cover relationship with the real one. And it ends up all happy, but it's not actually happy. Spoilers if you haven't seen it. If you want to watch it, skip forward just a little bit. But, spoilers, it ends on a cliffhanger that is so beautiful.
Abigail's about to cry.
It's worth crying over. I have to finish it up. So it ends with the main female character who has been the spy, like, her entire life, basically, and just, like, finally learns love and finally gets married and finds happiness with this guy, loses all her memories of him.
Wow.
So she's left sitting on the beach and it's parallel to the first episode where he's like questioning because he's like stuck with the spy knowledge now and she's like, trust me, Chuck. And the story ends with him saying, trust me, Sarah. So
it's super cute.
All right. So now Abigail's going to get her composure and tell us her next ones.
I'm going to cry at all of them. Are you kidding me?
I love you so much. I'm just curious to see if any of us are going to have any of them same ones on our lists.
The next one's Dawson's Creek.
Nice.
Nice, nice.
I finished watching it like 2 years ago, maybe 2 years ago. I'm still not emotionally over it. I want to rewatch it someday because it's so good and I'm so attached.
You have to be ready for it.
I'm not emotionally ready for it. I finished it 2 years ago and I still can't rewatch it. Or hear the theme song without just... anyone that is around knows Dawson Creek's and knows why it's amazing and knows why it's just up there with a favorite.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Next one.
This is the curveball here. This is called... It's not an American show. It's from France. It's called Miraculous Ladybug.
I was about to say, is this a Miraculous Ladybug?
Oh, my goodness!
It's these two kids. They're suddenly given superhero powers... And, like, you have a love square, okay? Here's the love square. You have Marinette and Adrian. Marinette has a crush on Adrian. But Adrian, and their superhero alternatives are Ladybug and Chat Noir, which just means black cat in French, but we deal with that. His superhero persona has a crush on her superhero persona. They don't know each other's identity. And so you have, like, the love square where they're chasing each other around. And then... It actually has such a good plot for a kids' TV show. Oh, it's a Nickelodeon. It's on Netflix, but not the most recent season. I've been kind of watching reaction channels. I can watch the episodes because she posts the link free through her VPN. It's great.
I feel that.
But it's such a good, it's a kids' show, but it has a very adult plot and it deals with serious topics like parents' abandonment or like her parents are. Of different races of each other, so it has sometimes to deal with the topic that she's has a Chinese background on one side of the family and French on the other, or it deals with just like loss of a parent or not even knowing them, or just deals with actual relationship problems and just the burden of trying to save the world from evil. It's super great. I think we're gonna stick with that for my top 3. I probably could dig up a 4th one, but just
wow, we're not gonna have any. None of us are going to have the same ones
on
our list.
She didn't mention The Office.
I could, but that one's just so typical. And that one's less of, it's just more for nostalgic purposes. It's less of the, this is a great TV show and you must watch it. Everyone else knows that The Office is good.
I gotcha.
I put these on my list because they're different and I want people to watch them and enjoy them and cry with me, please cry with me.
That's kind of how I felt about picking mine.
All right, nice. So now I'm going to take over before Abigail turns into a complete puddle. So I'm going to pull some out of the woodworks too. I was, if I went all the way up to 5, I would have added like Friends in the Office.
Okay. But that's just so typical. It's like, it's not.
And I was, my fifth place, I was like, Friends Office.
Neither, whatever.
Okay. So I'm dropping both of them and I'm only going to have 4.
Okay.
And again, these are, like Hannah, these are not in any particular order. They're just my top 4.
Yeah.
Eureka.
Oh, good. Yes. One. I loved Eureka.
It was so unique and different. And you had the, you know, at times he seemed like the bumbling idiot who just strolled into town. And but it's a town of literal geniuses.
They're like, yeah. Eureka, Montana.
And he just is so, he thinks of things out of the box, which these geniuses who are only thinking things in scientifical terms, he's the one who solves a lot of their problems. And it's just so many hijinks happen in that show. Because
he just is so nonchalant about it. He's just like, why don't you do this? Like, why don't you think of this?
Common sense.
Yeah, he's got common sense. They've got book knowledge. And it's just so entertaining. I love that show so much.
Didn't it get canceled?
Yeah, what good show didn't get canceled?
It needed to by the end.
By the end, they kind of stretched it too far.
I didn't watch the first season.
Yeah, so. It was getting a little by the end.
Yeah.
Another top favorite of mine that got canceled way too soon.
Firefly?
Jericho.
Jericho breaks my heart.
Rest in peace, Firefly.
Because I loved that show. I may be a little too into the post-apocalyptic style books, TVs, movies, all of that.
Aren't we all?
I love Jericho oh so very much.
Jericho's great.
So that's definitely up there in the top. Another one that's actually a newer one that they're kind of, because of COVID, they had to stop filming. And they weren't able to film the next season.
I know what you're going to say.
Really, what do you think I'm going to say?
Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist?
Nope. Wow. That one is canceled. It's not coming back.
Oh, no.
I liked that one, but I wouldn't put it in my top favorites.
Because it was a good idea. It was cute.
But so back on to mine.
No.
Anywho, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. It is an Amazon Prime special. It's one of their originals. It is fantastic.
Oh, yeah, because it's about a female comedian, right?
Yes. In like...
the 40s or something?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. 50s, maybe?
Something like that, where it was like uncommon for women to be.
It was not modern. It's like a throwback time period. And she's just so, this New York Jewish woman who's just so crazy and who's stepping out of her usual life. I've gone back and rewatched that already countless times. And then for my fourth one.
What's your fourth one?
I have to go complete nostalgia on this one.
Okay.
I'm kind of torn between two old nostalgic ones, really, is what it comes down to. So I'm tossing a coin in my head.
Say both of them. You still have 2 more slots available in your top 5, so.
You could do 5.
I love Lucy.
It's so great.
It's a classic.
So mature and so sweet and so silly and so
groundbreaking
dumb,
too.
And so groundbreaking.
I mean, there were so many things about I Love Lucy that had never been done in television before. Showing and a woman actually pregnant on screen.
Yeah, showing pregnancy on screen. That was the first time in history.
People don't have separate beds on this show. I think that's just big enough. Like that simple little thing, you wouldn't think that would be a problem, but Hollywood back then.
Well, they just
like,
never would show the bedroom.
And even when they did, they had 2 twin beds separated.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, yeah, I love Lucy. It's so fantastic. And the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Oh, yeah.
So sweet and pure.
Same Dick Van Dyke Same vibe.
Show. So, yeah.
Can I add one to mine since I have one
you
more slot left?
You absolutely can.
Can we have honorable mentions?
The sure. Chosen.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's newer, but it still is going in my all-time favorites list.
Mine too.
Just because it's...
Can we all agree?
Chosen.
It's not in my all-time favorites. It's a good show, but it's not my favorites. It's good. It's like maybe top 10 or 20, but I watch a lot of TV shows, so.
That's fair.
No,
top 5 is an honored position by my tiers.
Yeah.
That's fair.
I really, really wanted to put The Chosen in, but I was trying. I've already talked a lot about it in previous podcast episodes.
I'll mention it for you.
Thank you. I will agree. That's going to be my honorable mention that it just kind of goes without saying.
It's my number 5.
I love The Chosen.
Yes. We've talked about it before. So.
But real quick, we kind of briefly talked about why do you love The Chosen, Hannah?
Jesus. I love it because it brings all of the stories that I grew up hearing in church, it brings them to life in a way that I've never seen done before.
Yeah.
Because so many times the disciples and Jesus are shown as these holier than thou and above everybody, and we act the right way all the time whenever they're pious shown on screen.
Perfect.
Pious and perfect. All the disciples too. Whereas they were real people. They still had to do chores. They still had to exist. They still fought with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love the way that they portray all of that in a very realistic feeling way. Like, it feels like I can know these characters. And
absolutely.
They're not characters. They're people.
It makes them feel real.
It does. Realer than I've ever felt like they felt when reading the Bible stories.
Yeah. It's like when you read a story and you're like, oh yeah, this is based on a true story. And you read somebody's story like, oh, that really happened to somebody. Okay, but if it's told in a way where you're like, but doesn't feel like I can really picture that happening. Oh man, they do such a good job making mm-hmm. it real.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
Plus, it's funny.
Well, this has been a lot of fun, girls.
It has been.
Hopefully, if you guys have made it this far listening, you understand that we really are this way all the time. This
Merlin.
Is not.
We really are.
Oh, Merlin.
Oh, Merlin.
Oh, Abigail. All right, we gotta wrap it up, ladies.
Wait, cry okay. again.
Oh,
do I get a teaser this week?
You do get a teaser.
Ooh, can I hear my teaser for next week?
All right, next week is called Fire and Ice.
Ooh.
Bren, what are you doing here?
I live here.
Yeah, so do I. I probably would have been here an hour ago if I hadn't driven across town to pick you up.
Bren, I'm sorry. I walked home. I totally spaced.
Three scoops?
Second bowl.
Tough day at the office, huh?
I was on my feet, 8 hours straight. And I probably made a total of, $1.95 in commissions.
Yeah, I've been there.
You know, everyone I approached was, sorry, dear, just browsing. I couldn't even convince Donna to buy a lousy keychain, and meanwhile, Deidre was having a field day at the register. The way she can read people is phenomenal.
I don't know, Bren. Mom's always saying that since Grandpa was a natural-born salesman.
Oh, don't get me started.
Well, have you two ever made your blowout?
No. They were gone by the time I got home. Ma'am, it's not her fault. And it's not Dad's fault. I'm sure they did the best they could.
What are you saying?
I'm saying I don't think they taught us how to succeed in the real world. I think they blew it when they raised us to be so...
nice.
Yeah.
That's not a failure, Brenda.
You'll see. It comes in play, her niceness later.
Interesting.
On.
Yeah.
So she's still at her job, which is cool.
Yep.
Awesome.
And did you recognize what they're doing at the very beginning there?
Oh, yeah. They're having an ice cream powwow.
Yeah.
The Walshes are sitting down for ice cream. This is going to be a serious episode.
That's how Hannah judges the episode, if they're eating ice cream or not.
Plus, Brandon said three scoops. Three scoops is a big deal.
She's already had three scoops, and it's her second bowl.
Oh, my goodness.
The second bowl has three scoops.
Okay, I want ice cream. Can I go eat ice cream?
Let's go eat some ice cream. You guys, it's been great. We'll see you guys next time right here on...
Back to the Peach Pit. Thanks to Pixabay.com for their royalty-free music, where we found our theme song by the Caffeine Creek Band.